Welcome. Today I'm talking with Habib Nassar, Acting Director of ICTJ's Middle East and North Africa program. Habib has just arrived back to New York after a week in Tunisia, where he was speaking with officials, judges, lawyers, and civil society actors about the transition there. Habib has kindly agreed to speak with us today about the dynamics on the ground in Tunisia. Thank you for joining us, Habib.
Thank you.
We've all been watching Tunisia with wide eyes in the past few weeks, but obviously it must be a different feeling on the ground. What's the mood like in Tunis now? Where do Tunisians think they're headed, and what are they talking about?
I can tell you that I saw and I witnessed a lot of change on my last previous trip there. When I was there before the revolution, it was almost impossible to move around Tunis and meet civil society activists without being constantly followed by the political police. There was no space for the press and civil society to express themselves. Human rights defenders were persistently harassed and intimidated. The use of torture, arbitrary detention, and other sort of abuse was pervasive. What I saw this time was Tunisians breathing freedom, I could say, after years of suffocation under the Ben Ali repressive policies. I could see a hectic civil society moving around frantically, endless discussion about Tunisia's future institutions, about what the political system should look like, about what to do with Ben Ali's legacy of human rights violations, about reform elections. We could read newspapers full of stories about the torture under the previous regime, bookstores displaying on their windows books that were previously banned.
What are Tunisians saying about justice on the ground? Are they talking about prosecutions, or are they talking about a range of justice measures?
What we saw there is that justice and accountability appears to be a top priority on the civil society's agenda. We heard a lot of discussions and ideas on how to address the heavy legacy of past human rights abuses under the Ben Ali regime, how to deal with the widespread torture and arbitrary detention, and even cases of disappearance that are starting now to be unveiled. The government also is including justice and accountability in their plans. They have already established a commission, a fact-finding commission, to investigate the violations and the repression that have taken place against demonstrators since the uprising started in December. Arrest warrants were issued against the former president and officials on the basis of corruption charges. Former Minister of Interior has been arrested on charges of human rights violation. Of course, many Tunisians believe that the most senior perpetrators of human rights violations have to be prosecuted. But they are also very much aware that other measures need to be taken into account, such as reparations programs for the victims or vetting programs.
Habib, tell us about the strength of Tunisia's state institutions.
The Tunisians are facing today this problem of confusion between state institutions and the former ruling party, the RCD. And they will have to devise a clear strategy, I mean, to dismantle this repressive fortress that was built through the years by the Ben Ali regime and that is present at various levels of the society, not only in state institutions, but they manage to interfere in civil society groups such as labor unions, in the work of the Bar Association there, in the press, When we were there, actually, one of the civil society activists we met was very much worried about the fact that the press has moved from one specific discourse that was very supportive of the Ben Ali regime to a completely anti-Ben Ali discourse. Without any sort of nuance or criticism of what is taking place right now. So this absence of diversity seems to worry a number of activists in Tunisia. But again, I mean, if we take another institution such as the judiciary, they have also very skilled and highly qualified judges, but it's an institution that suffered very much from years of political interference in their work, and a system of this repressive system, I mean, has become part, I mean, of the day-to-day work of these judges, and there is a need, I mean, for them to break with the past and start to develop new habits.
Mm-hmm. What is ICTJ doing on the ground in Tunis now, and what's it thinking of doing in the weeks to come?
So we are right now in the phase of assessing what the needs of the Tunisians are, what their expectations are, what their plans are. At the end, it's up to the Tunisians themselves to devise the right transition and justice strategy for their country. And what we are going to do is help them in this process of reflecting and discussing what are the best options in terms of justice and accountability for Tunisia. We are going to try to put at the disposal of the various actors involved in this process expertise in the field of transition and justice, experiences from other parts of the world, whether from Latin America, Eastern Europe, Asia, so that they draw lessons from other transitions and other models of transition and justice from other parts of the world.
I've been speaking with Habib Nassar, acting director of ICTJ's Middle East and North Africa program, who's just returned to New York from Tunisia. Thank you, Habib, for joining us.
Thank you.